So first of all, I must thank Nan and those who've helped Nan to invite me to this very beautiful place. I was coming down by flight, and such a beautiful place, with mountains, with forests, with snow mountains and meadows, very beautiful place. And this is my first visit here. I'm very happy to meet all of you, and also some of my very old friends.
Hvala vsem, še posebej tistim, ki so pomagali organizirati, in tistim, ki so pomagali njim, da so Rinpoče povabili v to čudovito deželo. Rinpoče pravi, da je priletel z avionom in že v letalu je, se mu je razstrl pogled na čudovite gore, gozdove, zasnežene vrhove, poljane. In Rinpoče pravi, da je to njegov prvi obisk tukaj in da je zelo vesel, da se je srečal z vsemi nami in tudi z nekaterimi starimi prijatelji.
And so the subject of the talk tonight is Four Noble Truths. And I will give a short explanation, and then we will do some discussion. And usually when I travel and I try to share little understanding and experience of Dharma that I have, the method I do is through discussion. I find it very boring to listen to a long talk, and then you even don't know what you are saying is kind of making any sense, whether you already know all the things or you are not understanding anything what I'm saying. So therefore I find it very useful to discuss. So therefore I expect, I encourage, and I like lots of questions. However the silly the questions, the better it is.
Rinpoče pravi, da tema učen bo tokrat štiri plemenite resnice, in Rinpoče pravi, da bi rad podal kratko razlago, predvsem pa, da bi se potem o tem razvila diskusija. Ponavadi Rinpoče pravi, ko potuje, poskuša deliti tisto malo znanje in izkušenj, ki jih ima sam, razumevanja in izkušenj, vendar je njegova metoda učenja predvsem skozi debato. Rinpoče pravi, da smo zdi, da če on dolgo govori, da so dolgi govori dolgočasni, in poleg tega Rinpoče pravi, da ponavadi ne ve, ali ljudje, ki poslušajo, vse to živejo, se pravi, je v bistvu to nepotrebno, ali pa ničesar ne razumajo. Zato je njegov misel, da je pač najbolj uporabna metoda skozi pogovor, skozi vprašanje in odgovore. In zato Rinpoče pravi, da pričakuje, vzpodbuja in da mu je všeč, kadar je veliko vprašanj. In potem še dodal, da bolj, ko se zdijo vprašanja smešna, da boljše je.
And Four Noble Truths is not a very easy subject. It is whole of Buddhism. Actually, the whole Buddhist teachings or Buddha's teachings is about Four Noble Truths. There's nothing that Buddha taught that's not included in the Four Noble Truths. So therefore, it is it's a very vast teaching. It's kind of it can be extended in a to include everything in Buddhism. So therefore, it is not easy to give a complete explanation of the Four Noble Truths. But I'll try to make this short presentation.
Štiri plemenite resnice, tu gre za temo, ki ni lahka. V resnici je ves budizem je že vsebovan v teh štirih plemenitih resnicah. Nobenega budovega učenja ni, ki ne bi bilo že vsebovano v učenju o štirih plemenitih resnicah. In to učenje je neizmerno in da se ga razlagati na izredno elaboriran način in vključiti vse, cel korpus znanja budizma. Zato to ni lahka tema, vendar in ni lahko podati tega učenja kot popolne celote. Ampak Rinpoče pravi, da se bo potrudil in nam podal kratko razlago štirih plemenitih resnic.
According to my understanding, Buddhism is not a belief system. It is a training on how to free oneself from one's own sufferings. How to experience yourself. How to find a way of being so that you have lasting peace and happiness. So therefore it is a kind of a training on how to work with yourself, how to transform yourself from within.
Rinpoče pravi, da po njegovem razumevanju v budizmu ne gre za sistem verovanja, ampak gre za trening, za način treninga, ki govori o tem, kako osvoboditi samega sebe, kako se osvoboditi lastnega trpljenja, kako izkusiti samega sebe, kako najti nek način bivanja, kjer lahko najdemo trajno srečo in mir. Trening, kako lahko preobrazimo same sebe iz nas sami.
As you know, the Buddha, Buddha Sakyamuni, 2,600-700 years before. And when he first left his palace, left his family, his wife, his child, and went into search, it was because he saw the problems. He saw people getting old, people getting sick, and people dying. And those sufferings, those problems, he saw was equally shared by everybody, every being on the earth. And he wanted to find a way that if there was a way to free people from all these kind of sufferings, not only those things that we can do something about, but especially those things which we cannot do anything about. There are lots of things that we can change. If you are hungry, we can eat food. If you are cold, we can put on clothes. And many things that we can do. And this is also very important, I think, to understand. That sometimes when we talk about Buddhism, and we talk about working with our mind and our emotions and, transforming ourselves from within. And sometimes people get this kind of an idea that as a Buddhist practitioner or a Buddhist practice, you should only do that and should not do anything outside. I think that's wrong. It's not that you should not do anything to improve your society. You should not do anything to make your life better. You should not do anything, to get a better livelihood or better, living standard or, better education or better health or, And you should not, it's not that you should not help others to do that. You must. It's very clearly mentioned that if you can help somebody in any little way, that's called a positive deed. That's great. That's important. But the understanding here is that only that is not enough. We can change lots of things in the physical world, we can change lots of things in our life and in our society, but still, there is lots of problems that we cannot do anything by changing outside. And then what can we do? What should we do? There is something, a solution, a way, a technique, or not. So this is where Dhamma comes in, much more stronger, and say that, yes, even that time, even when we are in situations where there is nothing we can do and change anything about, even then, there is a way to solve this problem. Not to solve this problem, but by solving our own problem, by changing our own way of reacting to that, by way of knowing how to see things in a different way, that we do not have the same problem. We can experience the same thing, but in a different light. That if we can change our way of perception. So this is, that's why it's called the inner transformation. Working on our mind, on our emotions, on our habitual tendencies. And that's why, the Buddhism is a kind of, sometimes seems to be more focusing on that.
Buda Shakyamuni je pred 2600 leti najprej zapustil svojo palačo. Zapustil je svojo družino, svojo ženo, svojega otroka in sicer v iskanju odgovora na vprašanje, na probleme, ki jih je videl. Spoznal je, da se ljudje postaramo, da ljudje zbolimo, da ljudje umremo. In vse to trpljenje, vse te probleme delimo vsi. Vsako živo bitje na tej zemlji. Buda je poskušal najti pot, če obstaja taka pot, da bi osvobodil vse ljudi vsega trpljenja. In sicer vsega trpljenja in vseh problemov, in sicer ne samo tistih problemov, s katerimi se lahko spopadamo, okoli katerih lahko nekaj naredimo, ampak še posebej okoli stvari, ki jih ne moremo spremeniti. Določene stvari lahko spremenimo. Recimo, če smo lačni, lahko nekaj pojemo, če ne vzede, se lahko oblečemo. Tukaj pravi Rinpoče, je pomembno razumeti, da budizem sicer veliko govori o tem, da delamo s svojim umom, s svojimi čustvi, da spremenimo, od znotraj spremenimo svoj um. Vendar v budizmu ni samo to poudarjeno. Ne gre za to, da se ukvarjamo zgolj s tem in z ničemer drugim. Rinpoče pravi, da po njegovem mnenju je to napačno razumevanje. Ni res, da se ne bi smeli truditi, da izboljšamo razmere v družbi. Ni res, da se ne bi smeli truditi, da izboljšamo življenje, da imamo boljšo izobrazbo, da imamo boljše zdravstvene razmere. Da ni res, da ne delamo na tem, da bi dvignili življenjski standard. Ni res, da naj ne bi pomagali drugim. Pravzaprav je v budističnih spisih jasno povedano, da je vsaka pomoč drugim je pozitivno dejanje, vendar seveda to ni dovolj. Marsikaj v tem fizičnem svetu lahko spremenimo, marsikaj v družbi lahko spremenimo, vendar je pa še zmeraj veliko stvari, ki jih samo spremembami navzven ne moremo spremeniti. In potem, kaj lahko naredimo kot okoli problemov, ki se ne tičejo tistega, kar je zunaj. Ali obstaja kakšna rešitev, ali obstaja pot, ali obstaja tehnika, ali ne. In to je močno, tukaj je dharma močna. Kajti dharma govori o tem, da lahko celo pri stvarih, ki jih ne moremo spremeniti, najdemo pot. Lahko spremenimo način, kako mi doživljamo in reagiramo na zunanje okoliščine. Lahko se naučimo, spoznamo, kako videti težave, probleme v drugačni luči. Lahko spremenimo svojo percepcijo. In tukaj gre, zato tukaj govorimo, da gre za notranjo transformacijo. In ko se spremeni naša percepcija, potem tudi problemi, se tudi problemi razrešijo oziroma se spremenijo. Govorimo o tem, da delamo z našim umom, transformiramo naš um, naše emocije, naše navade. In zdi se, da budizem kot pot se osredotoča bolj na to notranjo spremembo.
So therefore, Buddha, Siddhartha, you can say, although he was the most kind of a talented person at that time, and he was treated with the most, you know, the royal kind of the luxuries, and he had everything that he needed, but he saw that that those the luxuries of the world alone doesn't make a person totally free from suffering and completely satisfied. And he also saw that there is lots of suffering in the world. And so therefore he wanted to find a way to find the lasting peace and happiness. And that's why he left his kingdom and in search of this. So therefore, you know, Buddhism is a search for truth, search for the reality, but also with a kind of a intention to find a way out of the suffering, you know, the problems and pain that people people experienced. So therefore, it's not just to find the kind of the informations, the search, not just to find the informations, the right informations, or what is what, but with the purpose of kind of finding a way out of the suffering. So therefore, after 6 years of his search, by listening teachings from different teachers, by practicing different paths, by meditating in different ways with great austerity and things like that, then it is said that in Buddha Gaya, he actually found the truth. He found the what we call as the experience of the Buddhahood. And there he said that I found the Amrita. Amrita is a legendary kind of a substance which gives immortality. But not just immortality, it is also very sweet and very delicious. Usually the things that is good for you are not very good taste. But this Amrita is supposed to be both. So he said that I found this Amrita which is profound, deep, which is peace, which is beyond any kind of way of grasping, which is clear, clear light, luminous, and uncompounded. But if I try to explain it to anybody, it seems that it's difficult to understand. Nobody would understand it. So I'll stay in the forest without talking about it. He said this, he expressed this, and remained in the forest for about 7 weeks. And after that, then, at the request of many non-humans and devas and things like that, as I said, he tried to find some people who might understand what he understood or experienced. And then he thought that the six people, or five people that he knew before, who were also searchers, who were also ascetics, who were also practicing with him sometime in the past, might understand this teaching. And he tried to see where they are, and he found them in Sarnath, Rishipatana forest. Rishipatana forest is in Varanasi. Varanasi is one of the very six oldest cities of the world. And near that there was the beautiful forest kind of a park. It is said that in long time before, in olden days, the Indians used to go to Himalayas to meditate, and then they meditated, and then they got the power to fly, and then they used to fly down from the Himalayas. One of these times, when they were flying down, this group of rishis from the Himalayas, they saw this beautiful forest with so many, you know, flowers, so many, you know, wild animals, and so, you know, so beautiful, so nice, that they were distracted. And, you know, they had to, I think, meditate while flying to get stay in the air. So they got distracted, and so they fell down. So therefore this forest is called Rishipatana, the falling of the rishis, where the rishis fell down, because it was so beautiful that they got distracted. So he found these five people in this forest.
Buda ali pa Siddhartha je bil izjemno talentiran. Je bil izjemno talentiran in v svojem svetu, v njegovi palači, so ga obravnavali kot kraljevsko osebo. Bil je deležen vseh možnih udobnosti in luksuzov. Njegovo življenje je bilo čudovito in njel je vse, kar je potreboval. Ampak uvidel je, da sama udobje, udobno življenje človeka ne more osvoboditi trpljenja, ne more mu dati popolne zadovoljitve. In videl je, da je vse okoli njega veliko, veliko trpljenja. Zato se je podal na pot. Hotel je najti trajen mir, resnično srečo in trajen mir. Zato je zapustil svoje kraljestvo v iskanju resnice, v iskanju resničnosti. In to je tudi glavna tema budizma. Namen poti, namen budizma je, kako najti pot ven iz trpljenja, kako najti pot iz vseh teh problemov. In tukaj ne gre samo za to, da bi posvojili nekakšno intelektualno znanje, ne gre samo za vedenje o tem, kaj je kaj, ampak je dejanski namen poti, da se osvobodimo vsega trpljenja. In Buda je v šestih letih svojega iskanja preizkusil različne poti, dobil je učenje od različnih učiteljev tistega časa, šel je skozi velike preizkušnje in asketsko življenje. In po teh šestih letih je v Bodhgaji, v Indiji, našel resnico ali doživel je izkušnjo budovstva, razsvetljenja, popolnega razsvetljenja. In takrat je rekel, našel sem amrito, to je legendarna substanca, ki človeku podeli nesmrtnost. In pravijo, da je ta amrita, nektar nesmrtnosti, da je zelo sladka, da je njen okus zelo dober. Ker ponavadi ni res, za stvari, ki nam koristijo, ponavadi niso obenem tudi dobre, ampak za amrito pravijo, da je tako. In ta resnica, ta nektar je izjemno globok, je mir, je onkraj vsakršnega oprijemanja, onkraj vsakršnih konceptov, je jasna svetloba in je nekaj nesestavljenega. In ko je Buda razmišljal, ali ko je Buda uvidel to globoko resnico, je uvidel, da če bi to poskušal pojasniti, da tega ne bi nihče razumel. In zato se je odločil, da bo ostal v tišini v gozdu. In tako je ostal v gozdu 7 tednov, vendar po večkratnih prošnjah raznih ne človeških biti, ampak božanskih biti, deve so ga prosili naj vendarle uči in tako je Buda se odpravil poiskati ljudi, ki bi nemara vendarle lahko razumeli to, kar je spoznal. In tako je prišel do tako je srečal 5 asketov, s katerimi so že prej skupaj hodili po poti, so skupaj iskali resnico in našel jih je v Sarnašu, na kraju, ki se je takrat imenoval Rishipatana, gost. Zraven Varanasija. Varanasi je eno od 6 najstarejših mest na svetu. In poleg Varanasije tam je bil ta park s tem gostom in legenda govori o tem, da davno tega, v starih časih, so Indijci hodili v Himalajo meditirati in potem, ko so tam meditirali dolgo časa, so si pridobili nadnaravne moči in so znali leteti in potem so leteli dol z Himalaje in ko so leteli med tem gozdom, so zagledali čudovit gozd z čudovitimi rastlinami, rožami, divjimi živalmi. In ker bil gozd tako lep, jih je to zmotilo v njihovi meditaciji do te mere, da so zgubili moč letenja in so vsi padli dol. In zaradi tega se ta gost imenuje Rishipatana, pomeni riši ali vidci, meditatori, ki so padli dol, zaradi tega, ker jih je lepota gozda zmotila. In tu je Buda našel svojih 5 prvih učencev.
And then it is said that the first, these 5 people, they didn't want to a kind of show respect to the Buddha because they had been together before. But as the Buddha came nearer, they found him with so much glory, and so much totally changed, that they had to. Everybody stood up. Everybody said, "Please come." Everybody showed respect, and everybody sat down in front of him and said, "Please, can you tell us what you have found?" And then he gave the teaching, the first teaching, on Four Noble Truths. And he started like this. He said that there is suffering. There is the causes of suffering. There is the cessation of suffering. And there is the path to the cessation of suffering. And then he repeated again. And he said, there is suffering. You must understand. There is the causes of suffering. You must eliminate. There is the cessation of suffering. You must attend them. And there is the path to the cessation of suffering. You must accomplish them. Then third time, he said, there is suffering. You must understand it. But there is nothing to understand. There is the causes of suffering. You must eliminate them. But there is nothing to eliminate. There is the cessation of suffering. You must attain that. But there is nothing to attain. There is the path to the cessation of suffering. You must accomplish them. But there is nothing to accomplish. So he started his Four Noble Truths teachings in this way. Three times, in slightly different ways, and explaining that. And that became the basis of all his teachings. It is said that when he gave his first teaching, the one of these five, they understood and he experienced the truth and he became an arhat. And then slowly all five became arhat. Now these Four Noble Truths kind of gives the whole solution to the problems, the problems of samsara, you can say, if you like.
Ko je Buda srečal teh svojih teh prvih učencev, se najprej niso hoteli sprejeti mece in mu niso izkazali spoštovanja, ker se doprej skupaj iskali resnice in so mislili, da so iz nje odpiljil. Potem pa so videli njegov sijaj, videli so, da se je popolnoma spremenil in enostavno so se čutili primorane, da mu izkažejo spoštovanje, sprijeli so ga medse, usedli so se pred njega in ga prosili, prosim, povej nam, kaj si spoznal. Tako je Buda začel svojim prvim učenjem o štirih plemenitih resnicah. Najprej je učil, da obstaja trpljenje, obstaja vzrok trpljenju, obstaja prenehanje trpljenja, in obstaja pot do prenehanja trpljenja. Potem je še enkrat ponovil, drugič je učil, obstaja trpljenje in to morate spoznati, to morate razumeti. Obstaja vzrok trpljenja in to morate odpraviti. Obstaja konec, prenehanje trpljenja in to morate doseči. In obstaja pot do konca trpljenja in to pot morate prehoditi. In potem je še tretjič ponovil in je učil. Obstaja trpljenje. Razumeti morate trpljenje, vendar ni ničesar, kar bi lahko razumeli. Ničesar ni za razumeti. Obstaja vzrok trpljenja in tega morate odpraviti, vendar ni ničesar, kar bi lahko odpravili. Obstaja prenehanje trpljenja in to morate doseči, vendar ni ničesar za doseči in obstaja pot, ki jo morate prehoditi do prenehanja trpljenja, vendar ni nobene poti, ki bi jo lahko prehodili. Tako je učil, tako je začel svojim učenjem od štirih plemenitih resnicah, ki ga je trikrat ponovil na rako različen način in to je osnova vsega njegovega, vsega budovega učenja. In ko je učil, se pravi, ko je prvič predstavil to svoje učenje, se je eden od teh njegovih petih učencev je popolnoma razumel, je izkusil resnico, postal je arhat. In potem počasi s časom so tudi, je tudi vse postali, so ostali štiri tudi postali arhati. In lahko bi rekli na nek način, da so te štiri plemenite resnice, da so popolna, je popoln odgovor na vse probleme v samsari.
So, the whole way of solving the problem, he said the first we have to find the problem. We have to recognize the problem. If you don't know what is the problem, then you can't have solution. So, finding the problem, that's the second. And then we have to find what are the causes of these problems. So, if you don't find the causes of the problems, you don't have a way of solving them. So, the causes of the problems is this cause of the self. Then you have to find whether there is a possibility to be free from those causes of the self. Can you free this? Can you get rid of those causes which makes the problem or not? And to find that, that's the decision. And then you have to find what are the methods, what are the ways, what are the, you know, different kind of things you can do, what are the steps to eliminate those causes of the suffering, to transcend, to change the causes of the suffering, the causes of the problem. That's the path. So in these four ways, he made the whole presentation of the Dhamma. But when we talk about the suffering, many people misunderstand. I've heard people saying, oh, Buddhists believe life is suffering. Finished. So the Buddhists must be really unhappy because they see the life is only suffering. And then, you know, finished suffering. It's not like that. Saying that there is suffering, there's no use kind of denying that. There's no not good to deny the problems when you have problems. You know? I have lots of problems, I'm sick, but I say I'm not sick. You know? Then you die. So you should try to find out what is the sickness. And then try to take medicine and then you'll get better. So therefore, you know, it is important to understand the suffering. actually it's not, you know, that the life is only suffering. From Buddhist point of view, there is lots of suffering in the life, but it can be solved. That's the main thing. That's the main message. The message of Buddha is that there is lots of suffering that people suffer, and they suffer in many different ways, but there is a solution. It is possible to be free from that suffering. The whole message of the Buddha is that there is possible to be free from suffering. Even those sufferings and problems that there is no outer solution. Even those. So therefore, the Buddhist should be happy. Yes, optimistic. Optimistic, because the suffering has a solution, has a cessation. But the sufferings we have to understand and we have to accept. It's no use just denying that or looking the other side and things like that. That's not me. So therefore, we need to, sometimes we do this, that I have a, we feel that, the problem is is something, problem is something outside there. I have everything I need, my life is kind of okay, but I am not totally satisfied, and then I think maybe it's my partner is the problem. So I change my partner, I must be very happy. But sometimes, no. Actually, the job is my problem. Another job. Same thing. My country is my problem. I got another place. And then I got another place. So therefore, we need to understand what exactly the problem is. Because sometimes we don't understand what really the problem is, and then therefore, then doing something there wouldn't help here. So therefore, the suffering can have many different types of things. Of course, the outer circumstances, which is also a problem. If you have pain, that's suffering. If you get something that you don't want, that's a problem. Loss, that's a problem, that's suffering. If you lose something that you cherish or that you love, that's a problem, that's suffering. And all these kind of things that we already know as painful, physical, emotional, all those problems that we can understand, very well. But there is another kind of suffering we don't recognize well. We don't see so clearly. And that is that when everything is okay, then we still are not totally okay. We are not completely joyful. If somebody asks me, "How are you?" I say, "Touch wood, I'm okay." Why touch wood? Mm. I have a fear that this is going to change. Mm. You know, it can change, and you have the fear of change. We all have. So therefore, even when we are okay, you know, it's not completely okay, you know, because we have fear of change, and that's a big problem. You know. That's a big problem because, you know, most of the kind of what can you say, fights, most of the discords and things like that is, you know, how we are going to in the future, you know, what kind of, you know, and then we fear, have lots of fear, and that's causing lots of troubles, and we are not satisfied, we can't have peace of mind. And if you look deeper into it, it's basically our way of reacting. That's the problem. You know, that we have fear, and we have kind of craving. We react. Wanting something and not wanting something. Mm. And that's why we are always like not having what we want and having what, you know, or fear of not having what we want, fear of having what we don't want. So therefore, our mind is kind of have lots of, you know, lots of pain and problems.
Obstaja. Sprav Buda je predstavil na štiri načine pot. Predstavil je pravzaprav metodo, kako se lahko osvobodimo trpljenja. In cela način, kako rešimo trpljenje, je, da najprej prepoznamo problem. Če ne vidimo problema, če ne vemo, kaj je problem, potem se ga ne moremo lotiti. Potem nimamo načina, kako bi lahko sploh začeli reševati problem. Potem drugi korak je, da ugotovimo, kaj je vzrok, kaj povzroča problem, kaj je vzrok trpljenja. Se pravi, problem je trpljenje. Problem moramo prepoznati, da trpljenje je problem. Drugi korak, najti moramo vzrok temu trpljenju. Potem tretji korak je, ugotoviti moramo, ali obstaja neka možnost, da bi se osvobodili tega trpljenja, da se to trpljenje konča, ali obstaja način, kako se popolnoma osvoboditi vzrokov, ki povzročajo trpljenje. In to je prevenitelj smisla prenehanja trpljenja, to je prenehanje trpljenja. Pozitiven odgovor na to vprašanje. Potem četrtič, metoda ali koraki, po katerih lahko odstranimo vzroke trpljenja, po katerih lahko presežemo vzroke trpljenja, po katerih lahko spremenimo način, kako doživljamo stvari. In to je, to je v resnici je metoda, ta pot. In to je način, kako je Buda predstavil pot, se pravi te štirje koraki. Velikokrat je budizem ali budov nauk narobe razumljen v smislu, da je splošna predstava, splošno prepričanje, da budizem govori o tem, da je vse življenje samo trpljenje.
Če hoče, da se je prvi suffering, then it's finished. Like in the beginning. Said, like, there's a misunderstanding of the Buddhism, like, that there is only suffering. Then I
yeah, the people think that, people say that Buddhists believe that life is suffering. That's it.
That's it, okay.
Okay. Ja, torej, ta napačna predstava v budizmu je to, da, da ljudje verjamejo, da, da budizem doživlja življenje kot trpljenje in to je vse. To je konec, pika. Vendar,
that's not it, you know.
Vendar to ni red. Nima smisla zanikati trpljenja. Nima smisla, ni dobro, če zanikamo problem, kadar ga imamo. Recimo, če zbolimo in rečemo, ne, nisem bolan, potem lahko umremo. Če smo bolani, potem moramo prepoznati to dejstvo in potem lahko vzamemo zdravila in tako se naše stanje lahko tudi izboljša. Torej, to je pomembno, pomembno je razumeti, prepoznati trpljenje. Življenje ni samo trpljenje po budističnem razumevanju. V budizmu govorimo o tem, da je veliko trpljenja izkušamo v vsakdanjem življenju, ampak to se da rešiti. In obstajajo načini, različni načini, kako rešimo te probleme, kako se trpljenje neha. Buda je ravno o tem učil, kako se osvoboditi trpljenja. In Buda je govoril o tem, da se da, da je to možno. In čeprav ne moremo odstraniti vseh zunanjih okoliščin, ki povzročajo trpljenje, ampak vendarle v končni fazi se možno osvoboditi trpljenje in to je tisto, kar je Buda učil in zaradi tega pravi Rinpoče, da bi morali biti budisti veseli in optimistični, ko pogled na življenje je optimističen. Seveda pa moramo zato najprej razumeti trpljenje, razumeti resnico o trpljenju. Ne smemo gledati v stran, ne smemo odvračati pogleda od tega, kar je pred nami. In včasih se zgodi, da se lotimo stvari na tak način, da mislimo, da je problem nekaj zunaj nas. Zdi se, da imamo vse, kar potrebujemo, da so vse zunanje okoliščine idealne, ampak vendarle nismo popolnoma zadovoljni. Potem se vprašamo, kaj lahko storimo in potem se nam zdi, mogoče moj partner ni v redu in zamenjamo partnere. Če bomo zamenjali partnera, potem bomo našli srečo. Ali pa najdemo razlog v svoje nezadovoljnosti v službi, ki jo upravljamo in potem zamenjamo službo ali pa se nam zdi, da je dežela, tam, kjer živimo, tisto, kar nam povzroča nezadovoljstvo in zamenjamo svojo deželo. Ampak to pomeni, da ne razumemo natančno, kje leži problem. In se lotevamo stvari, rešujemo probleme tam, kjer jih dejansko ni in zato jih na ta način ne moremo razrešiti. Seveda obstajajo različne oblike trpljenja in lahko govorimo o zunanjem trpljenju, govorimo lahko o bolečini. Bolečina, ki jo povzroča dejstvo, da ne moremo dobiti tisto, česar si želimo. Bolečina, ki jo povzroča izguba. Bolečina, ki jo povzroča izguba tistega, kar imamo, kar cenimo in imamo radi. Vse te stvari poznamo, vemo, da obstaja to trpljenje, razumemo to vrstno trpljenje na fizičnem in na emocionalnem nivoju. Vendar obstaja pa še ena vrsta trpljenja, ki ga pa ne moremo videti tako jasno. In sicer včasih se zdi, da je vse ok. Ampak na nek način pa še zmeraj ni vse ok. Tudi kadar se počutimo ok, še zmeraj ni vse ok. Zdi se, da smo veseli, zadovoljni, vse je v redu, ampak tem, ko smo v tem stanju, potrkamo na les in rečemo, vse je v redu, ampak potrkam na les, da bi tako tudi ostalo. Zakaj? Ker se bojimo spremembe, bojimo se, da bi ta izkušnja minila. In ta izkušnja dejansko se spremeni. Ta strah pred spremembo je v vseh nas. Torej, tudi, kadar smo v redu, nismo popolnoma v redu, nismo nikoli popolnoma v redu zaradi tega strahu pred spremembo. In to je velik problem. Večina nesporazumov, večina prepirov in konfliktov je povezana ravno s temi našimi projekcijami prihodnosti, ki jih povzroča ta strah pred spremembo. In zaradi tega nikoli resnično ne moremo, naš um se nikoli ne more zares umiriti. Treba je pogledati zelo globoko, da bi videli, zakaj se to dogaja in potem bi opazili, da gre za to, da je vse skupaj pogojeno z načinom, kako reagiramo na zunanje okoliščine. In te reakcije so pogojene bodi si z našim strahom ali pa z hrepenenjem oziroma hlepenjem po stvari. In zmeraj reagiramo na način, da nekaj bodi si hočemo ali pa nočemo. In to je strah, da bi prišlo neka situacija, ki je nočemo in strah pred tem, da ne bi mogli doseči tistega, česar si želimo. In zaradi tega strahu se potem v našem umu pojavlja veliko raznih problemov in bolečin.
But there is one more thing, which is more complicated. That is that we all want to be free from suffering. Everybody wants to be free from suffering. Now suffering here means pain, problems, dissatisfaction, you know, any kind of big and small, subtle physical and mental, you know, disturbance. Now we all want to be free from suffering and we all want to be happy, joyful, you know, well, not just for a short time, but all the time. But that itself becomes a problem. The more I don't want suffering, you know, I don't want suffering, I don't want suffering, is the suffering. You know, because I have, you know, I have aversion to the suffering, I don't like suffering, you know, the more I don't like it, the more I don't like it. even little bit makes me kind of suffer more. And the more I want happiness, the more I'm unhappy because I'm not getting it, you know. I have to be happy, I have to be happy. I am not happy. You know. So we want to be free from suffering and we want to be totally happy. And because of that, we suffer more because we too much want suffering to be free and too much. So that's the problem. That's a big problem because, you know, when I try to get happiness, I get unhappiness because I am, you know, so wanting something and not wanting something. So I have lots of, you know, fear of suffering, and I have a lot of, you know, kind of craving for happiness, and because of that, you know, I'm not free. So therefore, my own way of you know, my own kind of way of thinking itself, my way of reacting itself, is bringing all the problems. And that's why we are in a kind of a cycle. You know, I want free from suffering. The more I try to get free from suffering, you know, the more I get into suffering, because the more I don't like the suffering, the more I want happiness, the more I run after it, the more I am unhappy, because, you know, I don't get it, because, you know, I am too much wanting it. So therefore, you know, this is a kind of a dilemma. So therefore, it is very important to understand this. Only we understand this, then we have to find a solution, we have to find a way, how we have to work on it. Because, you know, I think, you know, that just wanting happiness and not wanting suffering is not getting us free from suffering. We need to find a method, we need to find wisdom, we need to find a totally different way of being and reacting. Otherwise, this is the way we have been doing all the time. We are not free from suffering, not because we didn't want it. We always want to be free from suffering and unhappy. That's why we are so busy. Why should we be busy then, otherwise? Why everybody is so busy? Why ants are so busy? Why mosquitoes are so busy? Why everybody is so busy? They're trying to get happiness and get rid of suffering. And it's not because of our intention, it's not because of our efforts, we are making lots of efforts, but we don't know how to. So that becomes the problem. We don't know how to. So therefore, Buddha said we have to find the causes of the suffering. And that's his kind of his discovery, the causes of the suffering. Because if you really understand the causes of suffering, then you can start to find out what you can really do to change that. Unless you really deeply find the causes of the suffering, you cannot change it. So therefore, by understanding the suffering, it helps us to get to the cause of the suffering.
Obstaja pa še en problem. Stvari so še bolj zapletene. Vsi si želimo osvoboditi se trpljenja. Vsi bi se radi osvobodili bolečin, problemov, nezadovoljstva. Vsi bi bili radi srečni, radostni. Obstajajo, osvobodili bi se radi vsakršnega trpljenja, velikega trpljenja, majhnega problemov, subtilnega trpljenja, fizičnega trpljenja, umskega trpljenja. Vse to bi radi, to osvoboditev in to srečo bi radi ne samo za nekaj časa, ampak za ves čas. To lahko samo na sebi postane problem. Kajti, ko si nekaj tako želim, se pravi srečo, in ko nekaj tako zavračam, se pravi, bolj kot zavračam trpljenje, večje je trpljenje, zaradi tega, ker se ga ne moram v resnici znebiti. Se pravi, s tem mojim odporom do trpljenja se moje trpljenje še povečuje, bolj ko si želim sreče, bolj ko jo zasledujem, večje je moje nezadovoljstvo, ker tega ne moram doseči. Ne? Ker če ko si govorim, moram biti srečen, sem potem še bolj nesrečen, ko, ko te sreče ne dosežem, oziroma ne smem trpeti, povzroča ta moj odpor do trpljenja, povzroča, da se moje trpljenje še poveča. To je velik problem. Ko poskušam biti srečen, sem še bolj nesrečen. Zaradi tega, ker si tako želim, obenem pa je v meni strah pred trpljenjem in hlepenje po sreči. In zaradi tega strahu in hlepenja potem nikoli nisem dejansko svoboden. In v resnici izvirajo potem moje problemi ravno iz načina, iz mojega načina, kako razmišljam in kako reagiram na stvari. To je tisto, kar povzroča probleme in to postane začaran krog. Poskušam se osvoboditi, vendar bolj ko se trudim, več tistega, česar si ne želim, dobim in manj tistega, kar si želim, lahko dejansko uresničim. Bolj ko lovim srečo, bolj nesrečen postajam. In to je dilema, kako se lotiti tega. Pomembno je, zelo pomembno je razumeti, da je rešitev leži v tem, kako delati s temi stvarmi. Ni dovolj samo želeti si sreče in ne želeti trpljenja. Sama ta želja nas ne more osvoboditi trpljenja. Potrebujemo metodo, potrebujemo modrost, potrebujemo, moramo se lotiti stvari na drugačen način. Ne gre za to, da se nismo osvobodili trpljenja, ker se tega ne bi želeli. Kajti vse, kar počnemo, je ravno zato, da bi bili srečni in v tem smo zelo zaposleni. Zakaj si dajemo vsi toliko opravka? Zakaj imajo mravlje toliko dela? Zakaj imajo komarji toliko dela? Se pravi, ni problem v našem namenu osvoboditi se trpljenje in najti sreče in ni problem v tem, da se ne trudimo dovolj, ampak je problem v tem, da ne vemo kako. In to je tisto, kar je Buda odkril. Buda je odkril, kaj je vzrok trpljenja. To je bilo njegovo veliko odkritje. In če lahko razumemo trpljenje njegove vzroke, lahko dejansko ugotovimo, kaj res lahko spremenimo. Lahko ugotovimo, kako spremeniti svoje življenje. In s tem, da razumemo trpljenje, lahko spoznamo tudi vzroke trpljenja.